keep the commandments at the expense of your traditions. You want your traditions, that your traditions are more important to you than the commandments. And he would eventually say to them, don't worry about what you eat or whether you washed your hands before you ate. Now, that's good hygiene. The Bible is not against that. But listen to the point. It's not what goes into a man. It's what comes out of the man that defiles him. And he says, you know, when a man eats food, whether he's washed his hand or not, food goes into his stomach and then it goes out and it's done with. And you get the nutrients or the vitamins from the food and the waste is dismissed. Okay. But he says, it is what comes out of the man that defiles the man. And I just want to call your attention to two references because it's interesting. Remember, I'm always telling you context, context, context. Let me go back and read in verse 6 of Mark chapter 7. Verse 5. Then the Pharisees and scribes says, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, and then from Isaiah 29 he quotes, this people honor me with their lips. Just a little underline there. Just note, people honor me with their lips, okay, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandment of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups and many other such things. He said to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your traditions. And so he's just saying, we have a saying in Mississippi, you can be as straight as a gun barrel and just as empty. In other words, you can cross your T's and dot your I's and be politically correct. And it's nothing. It's just, that's all it is. There's no spirit of the thing. Again, just because I want to tie it together with our text, look at verse 16. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, what did he just tell them that he hoped they would hear? Look at verse 15. There is nothing that enters a man from the outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile him. And then he said, did you get it? Did you get it? If you have an ear, can you hear? So that's sort of the crux of the background, the theme. And he reiterates that several times over and over. Now, Lord moves from geographically in verse 24. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. And then this lady comes. A Greek lady, not a Hebrew lady. And he engages a little conversation with her. She says in verse 25, a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him. She came and fell at his feet, and she asked him to deal with it. He sort of puts her off in verse 27. He said, Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And this lady who is not a Hebrew, a Jew, in verse 28 said, yes, Lord, even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. And then he said to her in verse 29, for this saying, in other words, she's got some serious faith here, and she's dealing with the Lord Jesus. And she's saying, listen, if you just give me some crumbs, I'd be satisfied. For that saying, he said to her, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter. And when she came to the house, she found the demon gone out. Now, again, let me point out a couple of things. In verse 6, he said, people honor me with lips, but their hearts far from me. Keep that in mind. And verse 16, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Keep that in mind. And verse 28 and 29, he heals the daughter of a demonic influence, but he's not there. He's at a distance. Okay. So here's the thing. Not what comes in, it's what comes out. And out of the heart is a whole list of it. Verse 21, evil thoughts and adulteries and all these. That's the problem. What comes out of the heart. Okay. You got lips? Do you say things, but your heart's not there? Do you have ears, but you can't hear things? Or does the Lord have to be present to heal? This is our context. Now watch the story. You're going to love this. So look at verse 31. Okay, 31. Here's our text. Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Now, I always encourage you to use your maps, okay? If you got a map, just grab it in the back. See where Tyre and Sidon are. See where the Sea of Galilee is. You'll sort of get an area. The Lord's moving around here. But look at verse 32. Then they brought to him one who was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he, the Lord Jesus, took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears and spat and touched his tongue. Then, this is the Lord Jesus now, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened, the translation. Immediately his ears were open and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one, but the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he's done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Okay, that's our text. I so like working through these stories. I mean, you can see them. If you just sort of close your eyes for a moment and then think through this story. This is a great story. Falling on the background of lips and ears. It's just like the Spirit of God is such a master writer of the scriptures. So influencing the writer and giving them the right words to use. You know, I've probably read the story about this deaf man who had a problem speaking, I don't know how many times, but I never looked at the context. And I know geography is different, but when we start reading the scriptures, like it's just one after the other, and here it is, and Spirit of God just says, watch this, let me show you how this goes together. So we will unpack this little story by looking at it in a couple of, or several different ways. First of all, where did it happen? The place. Sea of Galilee. Oh boy. If you ever get a chance, go there. It's kind of a neat place, really. I've been there a couple of times. My wife and I were there on one occasion. We were staying in Tiberias, which is right on the Sea of Galilee, in a motel, hotel there. And for lunch one day, it's sort of a, what do you call that? I forget, where you go along, and they got everything set out, and you just choose what you want, buffet kind of style. And I looked at this one thing that said spring chicken. And I looked at that, and I looked at that, and I thought, that does not look like chicken to me. So I called the guy over, and I said, this label here says this is spring chicken. I said, that looks like frog legs to me. And he went, it was frog legs. And they had spring chicken on the sign, you know. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I like frog legs, so I had some, you know. But it's amazing what happens at the Sea of Galilee. I didn't even know they had frogs. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. I don't know. But the Sea of Galilee is where the Lord Jesus spent a lot of time. All those little communities, like if you flip back to your map, and you'll just see all kind of little communities, none of the least which is Capernaum, which is really home base. This is where Jesus worked out of in what we call his Galilean ministry. So much happens there. When you're reading the Gospels, just every time the Sea of Galilee is mentioned, just take special note. Look at your map, go where now, where, what side of the sea is he on? Is it at the north or the east or the west side? Or, you know, it's so enlightening. Well, this is one of those times in that Galilean ministry, so-called, that he is now going to perform another miracle. And that miracle is going to be further evidence that he is the Messiah. It's just like meeting the qualifications, just like over and over and over. So another thing we're going to look at, just make note of, just a good way to sort of work through any text in the Bible, is the people that are mentioned. Now, we don't have any people mentioned by name in this text, but we do have them mentioned as part of the story. Now, I want you to notice it again in verse 32. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they, there they are again, begged him to put his hand on him. So we don't know who they are, but there are people who are concerned for other people. There's a multitude of people that often went with the Lord Jesus. They followed him. Just in the next chapter, chapter 8, he's going to be feeding the 4,000 again. And there's going to be all kind of people around him. But I just want to make note of this. These people had a friend, and their friend was deaf. And I'm not sure if he was, if he couldn't speak at all, or if when he tried to speak, it wasn't plain. There's an impediment. There is something wrong. I think the old King James, when it comes to the miracle itself, it says something like the string of his tongue was loosed, something like that, okay? We know that the tongue is placed in the mouth in such a position, it is anchored in such a position as to allow it to have free mobility and use and range and all this. And if it happens not to have developed perfectly, so that when you try to sound out words, the tongue is not free to make that movement, then you have an impediment. And we know that. We've all probably met people who try their best to communicate and it's very difficult to understand them. So I don't know. So it's something like that. He has a real problem speaking and he can't hear. And so some people had compassion on him. They have mercy on him. And they thought to themselves, we know somebody that can fix that. His fame is going abroad. I mean, miracles are happening. Isn't it nice to know that there are still people with a compassionate heart? When you listen, one of the signs of the end times is no compassion. Just no natural compassion. You see someone who is handicapped. I mean, how many times if you have a relatively healthy body, okay, life, and you see someone who doesn't have that, it's natural to say, oh my, how hard must that be? I don't like to see that. I wish they weren't like that. You know, that's not going to happen in the end times. There's going to be no natural compassion, no natural love. Men are just going to be lovers of themselves, haughty, proud, blasphemers, you know. Thank God that these people were compassionate. Now, what's the problem? Well, the problem in verse 32 is that the guy was deaf and had difficulty in speaking. Now, before we go very far from that, I want to pause there. And again, I told you the Lord Jesus has already referred to lips and ears earlier. And let's just sort of put it this way. Your ears can be perfectly working. You can hear, physically you can hear. Okay. Your tongue can be perfectly working and you can make any and every sound that you want to. But as we make application, this man who is deaf and who has difficulty speaking can be likened unto a world who does not have Jesus in their heart. Do you ever notice when you as a Christian are trying to tell somebody else about the Lord Jesus, you make that as absolutely clear as possible. You say to them, God loved you. And why is Jesus on the cross? Well, he's on the cross because the wages of sin is death and we're all sinners and Jesus is paying the penalty of your sins. He's dying for you. God's judging his son instead of you. He's your substitute. He's taking your place. And Jesus died for your sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And they go, and then they say, I'm a Catholic. I'm a Pentecostal. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Brethren. I'm a Presbyterian. They don't get it. They don't get it. You say, yeah, but did you hear me? He said, oh, I heard you. They hear, but they don't get it. They can't here. And dear friends, please don't be upset with these people. They can't hear it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I think it's around verse 14. We won't turn there. It says, the natural person does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And that person, that natural person, is a person who is not a Christian. They've been born into sin. They don't even know it sometimes. They don't care sometimes. And they can't get it because the Spirit of God doesn't live in it. Jesus is not in their heart. The Spirit of Christ doesn't live in their heart. They cannot get it. Jesus takes one of the smartest men on the planet and said, you got to be born again. And he said, got to go back to the hospital in my mother's womb? Like, they can't get it. They can hear with their ears, but they can't perceive with their hearts. Excuse me. Now, this deaf man, by application, represents people who do not know the Lord. You say, well, wait a minute. I thought faith came by hearing. It does. It does. But understanding doesn't come by hearing. What do I mean? I simply tell you this. As you share Jesus Christ with your friends and relatives, and you have presented the gospel, Christ died for them, he was buried, he rose again, trust Christ, faith in Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved, your life will be changed, you'll be in the family of God, you get eternal life, abundant life. They go, yeah. They can hear those words, and faith does come by hearing, but you got to take a step of faith. It's not more information that people need. The simple gospel, Jesus said, you got to be like a little child. I say it, and you believe it. That's faith. So it's not that they can understand it. Matter of fact, I don't think anybody really gets it. But the way you exercise faith is to give God the benefit of the doubt. Say, well, that's what the Bible says. And so if that's what God says, if you receive the Lord Jesus, he'll come into your heart, he'll change your life, he'll forgive you of your sins, he'll accept you into his family. Well, that's what the Bible says. I'm the sinner, he's the Savior. So, okay, I'm going to believe that. I'm going to accept. That is the step of faith that you must take. You can read your Bible 100 times. You can have people read it for you. You can preach again and again and again and hear the gospel message. But until you take a step of faith, you're just like the deaf man. It'll do you no good. Now, just another little application. Not only was a man deaf and he couldn't hear, but he had difficulty in speaking. Now, again, do you ever notice how a person who doesn't know the Lord Jesus really has nothing good to say about him? I mean, if they try to say anything, it's with difficulty. They're trying to talk about somebody they don't know. You know what the most common response to amazement or shock to the world around us and people that don't know the Lord? Listen to this. Hurricane Sally is hitting Pensacola, Florida, and there's 30 inches of rain. This is the way they, oh my God! That's your response. Oh my God, that's about as much as they know to say. They don't even know what they're saying. You say to someone, you shouldn't say, oh my God. that's using the Lord's name in vain. And they go, oh, I didn't mean anything by it. That's exactly. They don't mean anything by it. That's using it in vain. The unsaved don't know how to talk about Jesus. They don't know how to talk about the word of, oh, they can talk about their church or their denomination. But you see, this man who is deaf and having difficulty speaking, the unsaved, they just have no words for Jesus. They don't know how to express that. So anyhow, the problem. He's deaf, okay? And he's got a speech impediment. He has difficulty speaking. What's the procedure? How does the Lord Jesus deal with it? Look at verse 33. So here's what happened. Well, first of all, let me say the people brought their friend to the Lord Jesus, and I should just mention this, and they begged him, verse 32, to put his hand on him. They didn't say heal him. Isn't that interesting? They didn't say, now this guy is deaf and he can't speak properly. Could you give him ears? Could you heal his ears so he can hear? And could you fix his tongue so he could? They didn't do that. They said, would you touch him? Would you put your hand on him? That's all you really need, spiritually speaking. Just a little touch. And Jesus says, I don't even have to be there. Remember the demon-possessed little girl? Jesus said to his mother, you've said the right things. You've exercised faith. You said you'll take the crumbs. Even the little dogs get the crumbs. Go ahead. Your daughter's healed. And she was. Where's Jesus? He didn't move. He doesn't have to be there. But on many occasions, what did he do? He reached out and he touched him. He touched him. And so the people that brought him said, look, could you just put your hand on him? And that's all we need is just for you to put your hand on him. And whatever you think he needs, that's great faith, I think. Not demanding the Lord. Oh, listen, Lord, I have a friend and he needs this and he needs that and you do this. No. Would you just do whatever you need to do? Would you put your hand on him? Because I'll give you a little sneak preview. At the end, they said, he has done all things well. That's the end of it. So these people knew that was going to happen. You get that? So he said, Lord, would you just put your hand on him? Okay, so let's see what happens now. Look at verse 33. So he took him, in verse 33. So he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears. Can you see it? And spat and touched his tongue. Oh, my goodness. You know, read the Bible critically. And what I mean by that, don't try to find anything wrong, but read it slowly and carefully and follow it. Okay. So let's suppose you're here and I'm the Lord Jesus and in this scene, the deaf man who has trouble speaking, he comes up. And Jesus says, now, I understand you have a problem hearing. He didn't get a word. He didn't get it. He's deaf. Now, maybe he could read lips. I don't know. I'm not getting into all that. What did Jesus do? He used sign language. Sign language. You know, he just goes, I'm going to deal with your problem. Puts his fingers in his ears. And then the next thing we read, and he spat and touched his tongue. Now this gets a little more complicated. Does he take Does he take his fingers out of his ears? Well, at least one. Okay. I'm suggesting this Jesus is communicating to him like this. I know your problem. You can't hear. We're going to work with ears, and you can't speak. And so I'm going to deal. Now, if I tried to take my finger and touch your tongue, that'd be an awkward situation. Most people don't go around with their tongue hanging out. You get it? Like, this is kind of weird, really. But Jesus, I believe, let me tell you how special you are. Whatever your problem is, that's where Jesus is going to meet you. You have physical problem, he's going to meet you. You got spiritual problems, he's going to meet you. You got terrible background. You've got horrible experiences in your marriage or before marriage or with your parents or with a church or things that haunt you. Jesus knows that. He'll meet you. You can't hear and you can't speak. He says, we're going to deal with ears. And he says, watch this. I want to touch you. We're going to meet you where you are. I love that. You need to love that. Jesus doesn't do this like this again that we know of. This guy is having special attention from the master. I can't explain how all that happened, but he is communicating to this man that I know your need and I'm going to help you today. That's what he is communicating to that man. Now, so much room for speculation here. You'd have to just kind of stop yourself because you can go in so many directions. Look at verse 34. That's a procedure. Okay. Now watch the prayer. This is it's amazing. Verse 34. Then looking up to heaven, the posture, he sighed the compassion. And he said, okay. So he looks to heaven. Can I suggest that the Lord Jesus did not need to look to heaven? He knows exactly where heaven is. He knows exactly where the Father is. There's no need for him to look. He is doing this for the benefit of others. Remember, they are there, the people, the crowd, the people that brought him, they're there, okay? So you imagine now, he's taking this man, separated him from everybody else. He doesn't want to embarrass him in any way, but he wants to show him how special he is. Separates him from the crowd, puts his fingers in his ears, takes his spittle from his own mouth, divine, if you please, and puts it on that man's tongue. We're going to deal with you today in a unique and special way. And then he looks up. And then he sighs. Oh, my. Oh. You can speculate why he sighed. Let me tell you what I think. He sighs because he sees the consequences of sin, the helplessness and the hopelessness of mankind. He's not going, oh, I got to do this again, you know, like, no. This is his compassion. That this is his heart. This is his love. I reflect for a moment, because what are the 28 or 9, I can't read that, of you out here today. If you're a believer, think back on the day that you trusted the Lord, if you can focus back that fine in your life. If not, just the time. Think about it. It was like Jesus says, I am so sorry that sin has done this for you, but I'm going to help you now. I'm so sorry. My heart is with you. I loved you so much. I've died for you to take the penalty of your sins away. It's almost like he's saying, oh my. I love this person so much. He looks to heaven and he sighs. And then he says, be open. You talk about authority? Whoa. We got some serious authority going on here. Speak to wind? Yes, master. Speak to waves? Yes, master. Speak to diseases? Yes, master. Speaks to death? Yes, master. Speaks to deafness and impediment? Yes, master. Be open. What did Jesus, I mean, could you ever think about it like this? What did Jesus say to you the day you got saved? He said, I don't know. You remember any Bible verse? You remember any thought? Do you remember, if you had to go back and relive that moment, for was there anything in that where you could maybe say, he went, oh, child, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Oh, dear one, bound in sin, today I'm going to free you from that sin. I'm going to give you a brand new life today. Most of us, we're just sort of, it's all new. The step of faith, we don't really get it. We're just stepping out. We look back and we go, yes, I'm sure he would have done that. Yes, I'm sure he loves me. I'm sure he was sorry that my life was such a waste. Yes. Then be freed. This is what he's saying. Be loosed. Be open, be free, be all that I created you to be today. Wow. Yeah. What a message. It's coming from above. The heart of the master. And then the authority. Be open. You say, well, where did this guy have faith? That's what I want to know. Did he have any faith? Well, he went with his friends. I had an appointment last week. And I had to see an eye doctor. You know, the old eyes are not as good as they used to be. And I had to go in and so I get witnessing to this guy, you know. I mean, it just comes up. I don't know how it comes up. It just does, you know. And we talked about faith. And I said, well, let me tell you something, Mr. Eye Doctor. I got faith in you. If I didn't have faith in you, I would not be sitting in this chair. I wouldn't even walk into this office. I said, I'm believing that you studied and you are trained and you have experience, and when you look into my eyes and you tell me I need this and that and the other, that's exactly what I need. I'm trusting you. That's faith. I never saw you before. I don't know who you are. I'm just this man who's deaf and has a problem talking, he went with the friends. You know what those friends said? There's a man called Jesus, and he'd been touching people. Matter of fact, he healed a little girl the other day, and he wasn't even there. If we could get to him, I don't know what he'll do, but he'll do all things well. He'll help you. And that guy went. And when Jesus takes him and goes like this, he didn't shake his fingers out of his ears and run away, frightened, and say, what? When Jesus touches his own tongue and touches that, he didn't go, I'm not doing. He's trusting him. It's different. It's out of the box. It's not normal. But he trusted him. So Jesus prayed. Look at the praise. What's the praise? Verse 35. What happened? Immediately. I like that. You can stop there for a second. You know, so Jesus puts his fingers in his ears and he touches his tongue and he says, now you go home and in 2 or 3 days you're going to be better. No. Right now. Like right now. It's just like when I do this, like I'm doing this like right now. You see, it takes a minute to be born physically. It takes a minute to die physically. It takes 1 minute or less to believe and be saved for all of eternity spiritually. Christ in me, the hope of glory. 1 moment? How long does it take to believe? Immediately. He could hear. Immediately. He could talk plain language. That's what it says, 35. He spoke plainly. My wife says sometimes I don't speak very plain. She's got a little problem with, you know what I mean, like sometimes she don't hear very plain, you know. So the older you get, don't tell my wife that now, okay? Don't tell her I said that. But sometimes we don't speak as plain as we should and we don't hear like we should. But spiritually speaking, your ears now have the capacity to hear the word of God and respond. Your mouth, your tongue now has the capacity to praise the God of heaven who sent his son. You couldn't do that before. You were deaf and you had trouble talking. Couldn't talk. Couldn't speak plainly. Now you can. Isn't it interesting that once you understand salvation, one of the first things that happens to you, you won't go tell somebody. It's just neat. It's just like, I got it. But it's not for me, it's for others. And so you go and say, Mom or Dad or brother or sister or children or friend or, let me tell you. And you know what? Jesus did it. And you can speak kindly, compassionately, plainly. He came into my heart. He changed my life. I'm a different person. Let me tell you. Immediately. Okay, so now we got a hard one. What did he say? This is the hard one. Well, it says he spoke plainly. Oh, you fill in the blank, okay. I tell you what I filled it in with. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. I don't know. I don't think it was so sensational. Like he's kind of by himself, right? Like he separated him and it's just like him and Jesus. What would you say? What did you say? Have you ever said, Jesus, thank you for opening my ears. Thank you for opening my heart. Thank you for loosing my tongue. Thank you that I can say thank you plainly to you and know what I'm doing. Anyhow. Well, then there's the prohibition. Yeah, I know. We got a bunch of peas in the pod. We got the place, the people, the problem, the procedure, the prayer, the praise, and the prohibition. The prohibition. Verse 36, he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more they proclaimed it. This often happens. The Lord Jesus didn't want to be known as the magic man from Nazareth. He did not want to be known as the faith healer. He wanted to be known, first of all, as the king, and secondly, as the savior of man. And so he said, don't tell anybody. Kind of interesting. Just about everybody he told, don't tell anybody, they all disobeyed and went and told everybody. On the demonic from Gadara, he said, go home and tell what great things God has done. Oh, that's great. And he did. He went and told great things. Here, he said, don't tell. He said, oh. You know, you can almost hear the crowd. He's just trying to be humble, you know. He's modest. He doesn't, you know, he's just trying to take the lowly place. But how are you going to be quiet about it? But first thing they did was disobey the voice of the Lord. Anyhow, verse 37, the proclamation. And we'll be through. What was the proclamation? They were astonished out of measure. In other words, there's not words that could explain the surprise, the sensation, the excitement. They just went, oh, did you ever see anything like that? He makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. So what's the final analysis? He does all things well. And you know what? He's the same yesterday and today forever. He did all things well yesterday. And he's doing all things well today. And he's going to do all things well tomorrow. And if you trust him, you'll be able to say that. And if you hear the voice of the Lord today, you need to take a step of faith. Don't try. You can't understand. The only thing you can understand is that you have offended a holy God and you're in trouble. The wages of sin is death. And I can't believe that people will not accept the gift of eternal life. Have their ears open, their tongues loose, their eyes open, their hearts changed, new life, an exciting and sensational adventure of Christ in me, the hope of glory on earth, and then the guarantee of forever with him. But I know the Christ rejector, they don't get that. And if you've heard this whole message today and you say, you know, that sounded pretty good, but I don't get that. The only cure for spiritual deafness or spiritual insight, light, is faith. So I'm asking you in closing today, trust Christ. You say, how do you do that? You just believe. You just say, there's enough evidence. Jesus died for me. That's what the Bible says. I'm going to accept that there's nothing I can do to change my life, to forgive my own sins, to make myself fit for heaven. There's nothing I can do. And so I am going to accept God's way, salvation through Jesus Christ alone. I want him to be my own personal Savior. I accept, I receive, I believe, I trust Jesus I don't know what anybody else is going to do. And I'm not joining a church. I'm not trying to be good. I'm not trying to be religious. It's just this personal thing. It's just like Jesus is taking you aside with him, like he did this deaf man, and say, I want to give you special attention today. That's what he'll do. He'll save you today if you trust him. Let's pray. Father, we just simply say, and we agree with scriptures, your son does all things well. No wonder you are so well pleased with him. He is a wonderful Savior. And I pray that today someone might have their ears opened and their tongue loosed to sing praises to our God, to hear the wonderful counsel of God for their own life. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.